Are you going to be bleeping a lot during this section?
Maybe, man.
Do we have a bleep button?
I might have to add a bleep button.
Yeah, we have
moving
no bleep
forward.
Buttons. Yeah.
Okay, so moving forward, there will be a bleep button now, okay. Especially
yes.
On Chris.
Yes, yes. I've been needing one. I've been really holding back. Hey guys, welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved. We are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. Hi guys, I'm Chris Roby, and over there is my BFF, Carly Duke.
Wow, BFF?
There you go, yes.
Chris, I like that title.
I mean, I don't know that I know what it means, but no, I do know what it means.
Sure, hope so. We're besties.
Yes, that's right.
So going off besties, if you could tell what we're trying to do.
Yes.
We are coming up on International Friendship Day, Chris. Did you know that?
I had no idea.
Did you even know that was a thing?
No. No,
that's a day that we celebrate.
And I have friends and I didn't know that.
Apparently this is a day on July 30th. And so, but because of that, we wanted to talk about friendship with teenagers in mind and what happens with friendships. Why are they important? Last week we talked about role models, but friendships are super, super important.
Yeah. And I'd say, you know, coming off the last 18 months with people separating and not being around each other as much, friendship has become a totally new, different thing. Mm-hmm. And the way that we frame it and the way that we nurture those friendships and I would say just the work we had to put into it that we didn't have to before really brings us into focus.
Right. And what's so interesting, I will link all of this stuff at teenlifepodcast.com, but there are studies that show that the desire for teenagers to have friends is biologically hardwired.
Really?
So that is something within them that they don't have much control over. That's just hardwired for them to want and crave those friendships.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you'll find too that we keep referring back to adolescent development, but this is kind of, it's just that next stage coming, you know, kind of leaving the parents and having to fill that void. And that's where teenage friendships really become so important.
Right. When you think about friendships, there are obviously positive and negative friendships, but friendships are so important because they help teenagers know they're not alone.
Right.
They also know that they have someone else who feels the same anxieties, fears, insecurities, emotions. It doesn't matter how close you are, if you're a parent to your child, you just aren't going to relate on the same level that a friend will who is sitting in class with them, who is facing the same pressure that they are. And so it's so important for them to have these friendships so that they know there's someone else who's in this with me.
Absolutely. And when we do our support groups, and we'll talk about our support groups a little bit more this particular episode, we talk a lot about friendships and how important they are and the nature of them and how teenagers view those friendships. And one of the things I know I find is the younger the teenager I work with, the more friends they seem to have. Mm-hmm. But the older they get, the less that they seem to at least acknowledge as they move along. But also that where the real connections start to happen are when they realize that they're not alone in their anxiety or not alone in their experience. And the less friends that a teenager feels like they have, the more alone they'll feel in all those things.
Right. I love, there's one study that even said that teenagers who have close friendships are less likely to suffer from anxiety and depression in their mid-20s.
Really?
And so it increases self-worth. But these friendships are so important later on in life, too, because if you have friendships your teenage years, you're better off later on. Mm-hmm. And so as you were saying, Chris, we talk about this a lot in our support groups. One week we do a lesson where we have them fill out circles of relationships and how close they are to each other. And so I wanted to talk through what are some tips, or when we're talking to teenagers about friendships, kind of what are some of the things that we talk through with them?
A lot of it surrounds honesty and trust. And you will find the teenagers who either come from a harder place or are just struggling in general will be struggling with honesty and trust from their friends, that they feel like they can't trust anyone, that they've been betrayed, that they need to keep their circle small because if they let anyone too close to them, that's just someone else to stab them in the back. And it's a hard conversation to have, because if you have been betrayed, and I think we all have at some point, Especially the younger that you are, you assume that's what everyone's going to do to you. And that's not necessarily the truth. A lot of it is we just don't have the right, maybe at that time of life, we don't have the right people for that time of life. And so teaching them who do you trust, and who are the people that you can be truly honest with? If you can find those two things, that's a huge get for a kid.
When I think when it comes to friendship, there is going to be times where you get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And there are going to be times where that trust is broken. And so also talking to teenagers about that's okay for there to be hurt in friendship, when there's apologies and forgiveness there, that you can still remain friends, but also bringing up the important fact that sometimes there are friendships that just need to be cut off.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a toxic friendship, there can be forgiveness there, but that doesn't mean that you also bring them back into your inner circle of mm-hmm. friends. And so recognizing that there has to be trust, but that if that's broken, that doesn't mean that friendship is completely over. And sometimes you've got to set aside your pride and go and apologize to that friend.
And I know from a lot of the teenagers I work with in our groups, they're very quick to cancel a friendship.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't take much. It's a very thin rope that everybody's walking on with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a realistic way to go through life, because people are going to let you down. I think as adults, one of the value adds we add to the students we work with is teaching them and modeling with them what does healthy relationships look like. How do you apologize when you screw up? How do you accept an apology? How do you trust someone after they've hurt you? Because those are life things, right? I mean, we all have to go through those. And then, like you said, how do you define a toxic relationship? When is a relationship giving more? Or taking more than it's giving.
Right.
Right. And so those are all things as adults we have to handle and deal with. But we just have to remember the teenagers with relationships are kind of on training wheels a little bit, you know, and we can't expect them to really know how to handle all those things. And that's why, you know, as adults, we get to help model that and show them how that looks.
Right. And friendships take time,
mm-hmm.
mostly because that trust mm-hmm. is there. And so it's okay for friendships to change, and you need to tell teenagers that. But one thing that we definitely want to tell you is ask about friendships,
mm-hmm.
ask to meet their friends, invite friends over, and have a place where your child's friends feel safe. Go back a couple episodes and listen to the Brookie recipe,
mm-hmm.
make that for their friends, and then make sure you're staying in conversation about friendships.
One thing I would just add as we exit this is that we talk a lot about these, the skill building and working with teenagers. This doesn't apply to just your kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if a teenager can come to your house and you can apply what you do with all these things with their friends, that builds a lot of trust right there.
Yeah.
Where we're never asking you to relate or be something that you're not, but that listening ear, that helping them figure out how to be problem solvers, being that solid foundation is a really powerful thing for your teenager's friends.
Hey, podcast listeners, it's Carly Duke, and we have been getting incredible feedback on our podcast, and we wanted to give you three quick ways to show your love to the Teen Life podcast. So first of all, if you're not subscribed already, go into your favorite podcast app and make sure you're subscribed so you never miss an episode. I promise we have some incredible stuff coming up soon, and you will not want to miss a single trend, tip, or topic that we're talking about when it comes to teenagers. The second thing you can do is go into your app and review the podcast. Give any suggestions, tell us your favorite episode. We would love to hear from you in your favorite podcast app. And then finally, if you know someone else that you think would love this podcast, please share it. Share it on social media or just text a link to your friend and make sure that others know about this resource so that they can join in the conversation as well. As you know, we do not believe that teenagers are a problem to be solved, and we are so glad that you're with us to help connect to teenagers. Let's talk music, Chris.
Okay. I love music.
I know you do, but mm-hmm. this is a different type of music because I want to talk about how explicit music has gotten lately.
Are you going to be bleeping a lot during this section?
Maybe, man.
Do we have a bleep button?
I might have to add a bleep button.
Yeah, we have
moving
no bleep
forward.
Buttons. Yeah.
Okay, so moving forward, there will be a bleep button now, okay. Especially
yes.
on Chris.
Yes, yes. I've been needing one. I've been really holding back.
But what is so interesting, so some of you might be listening going, explicit music isn't a trend. This is something that's been around for forever. And you would be right.
Yep.
Let's think back to Madonna and other I can list songs from every generation, every genre that are explicit. Mm-hmm. However, there was a top singles analysis that was done on Billboard 100, top 100 charts. And they found that in the 45 years prior to 2001, only 5 explicit singles topped the charts. Wow. 5 in 44 years.
Just five.
Since 2001, however, there has been 1 year that was the exception, but otherwise at least one number one single had a parental advisory label on it.
Wow.
So to go from only 5 in 44 years to every year except for one has top singles that are explicit, that's a pretty big jump.
It's a huge jump.
And so this is a thing that is trending. And I mean, it's fascinating to me why that is.
I have some guesses on this.
Please share your guesses, Chris.
What new technology emerged right around 2001?
The iPod?
The iPod.
That was I don't know why I was so hesitant about that. I felt like I was being quizzed.
No, you kind of were. And I guess you made an A.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, but yeah, the iPod where music now, and before that they had Napster and there was digital music wasn't a brand new thing at that time, but around that time is when music went more digital. Mm. And so you could access music other places than the airwaves or on TV. And so that allowed for more freedom as to what could be released and be put in the mainstream because it was no longer governed by the FCC.
No, you're totally right. It went from radio and TV to Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, what you downloaded to your iPod,
mm-hmm.
now your iPhone. And so it's just not regulated mm-hmm. as much. And artists are taking advantage of that. Not necessarily always advantage in the wrong way, but they can use more creative license than they could have in the past. Another thing that is fascinating is the role that TikTok has mm-hmm. on music these days. Because one article I read said, once a song becomes a part of a TikTok trend, it is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, Old Town Road by Lil Nas X.
Lil Nas X, yeah.
They hold the title of the longest reigning Billboard Hot 100 number one in the charts history.
Wow.
And that was first found its kind of claim to fame on TikTok.
Really?
So TikTok is huge and it has massive implications for our music world. That's where a lot of teenagers are listening to music and a lot of the content or some of the content on there is very explicit.
And Carly, I think it's important for us as the Teen Life podcast and as someone who doesn't want to sound like old guy yelling at the clouds. is that explicit music has always been with us and will always be with us. My guess is if you go back to the 70s, 80s, 90s, going from 8-tracks to tapes to CDs, records, that explicit music was always a thing. Mm-hmm. And it just the ability for that to catch fire and be a popular thing or part of our zeitgeist was not there. It's on an old 8-track somewhere. You're just not going to hear it. Right. But I think it's important for us as people who watch culture to know, to not just go to the easy, like, oh, well, we're just all getting worse. We might be in some ways. but it's never just that simple, that usually there is something that enables it. Gives more access to whatever that thing is. And so to me, that's important for us to distinguish.
And so when we're talking about music, as Chris said, we don't want to sound super old and super jaded, but there are studies, I have a super scientific chart, Chris, that I am going to post.
This is going to blow y'all's mind, by the way. Yeah,
I'm going to post.
Man, this is peak social science.
Yes. So you need to look up, it's actually a Reddit chart. So I'm being a little ironic here, but it is swear words and Taylor Swift lyrics by album. Someone actually sat down and counted out every single swear word. And this chart lists it by how many swear words and which swear word. So mm-hmm. it's color coded. It's so pretty for you. Taylor's face is in the back of it. However, if you're looking at this chart, she went from very, very few to none curse words to her last two albums were one had 10 and one had about 18.
Wow.
curse words in it. And the next highest one from that was 4.
Wow. That escalated quickly.
Yes. Yeah, so the swear word on the Taylor Swift chart is rising. So you know if Taylor Swift is swearing more than everyone is.
Absolutely. She's a trendsetter.
Absolutely. And so now another one that I want to talk about, this is not a trend. So if you're listening to this, this song has been out for almost a year now. Mm-hmm. This performance is not new, but you may have heard of The WAP.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Cardi B and
Megan Thee Stallion.
Yep. And this has been so controversial, especially among adults. And especially their Grammy performance, which I believe was in March of this year.
I think so, yeah.
And I read that there were over 1,000 complaints to the FCC about this performance.
Hmm.
Parents and adults saying it wasn't appropriate for children. It was pornographic in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a song that our teenagers are listening to. This is a song that is being passed around.
Mm-hmm.
And people... or artists like that. Doja Cat is another one that's really popular on TikTok. And I've seen a couple of her performances. Her songs are popular and there's explicit language there. And so this is just something that we want you to be aware of that is trending, I would say, in the realm of, like Chris said, it's just not watched as much as it used to be. It's not under guidance like it used to be. And so teenagers are being marketed songs and lyrics and content that is probably explicit.
And these are being pushed in the same social spaces that they would interact with their friends, you know, just on Instagram or TikTok, any of those things that this goes alongside with all of mm-hmm. that as well. So depending on how much they're on those on those platforms, they're going to see and hear this a lot more than normally would.
Speaking of explicit music, Chris.
Okay.
The other day I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about the no's and kind of fails of parenthood.
Mm.
And one of the ones that they mentioned, I actually saw this on Instagram too, was this mom told them that she overheard her 8-year-old tell a younger sibling to only listen to the songs on Spotify with the E next to it. Oh, no. Because E stood for everyone. Which, if you are not familiar with Spotify, you should know that the E stands for explicit. So this mom found out that her small children were exclusively listening to explicit music on Spotify. Real mom win there.
Yeah. So the conversations had to happen a lot earlier.
Exactly. And so this is so important, though, for you to have conversations with your students, because uh-huh. if you didn't know that, depending on where your teenager is listening to music, it's labeled E for explicit.
Mm-hmm.
And so some things to ask where they're listening to their music, what their favorite song is. Did you know that you can have explicit filters? I know you can on Spotify. I'm assuming you can other places too, where mm-hmm. it will filter out music that is labeled explicit. And so that's some conversations that you need to be having with your teenager. Okay, let's get into our tip for today, Chris.
All right.
This one is more of an icebreaker, or if you're trying to get to know a teenager, or maybe just trying to get a teenager to open up. One thing you can ask, or actually two things, but ask a teenager, if you had $25 to get something you needed, what would it be?
$25.
Float that out. It doesn't have to be a crazy amount. You can change the amount if you want, but like if you were going to go into Target and get something you really needed, what would it be? It's an easy way to find out what teenagers feel like they need, what they're interested in, but to really get to the heart of a hobby, maybe you can ask, if you had $25 to get something that no one would ask why you bought that or judge you for it, what would it be?
Those are tough. I'm sitting here trying to think how I would answer that question.
But it puts a number on it. So it's something that is something that they can put their head around.
Mm-hmm.
But it can lead to conversation, because if you really get into it, asking, maybe if you just said, hey, what would you buy? They might go something outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there's something really small that it would help. And if you are an adult who is looking to bless a teenager, that's a really easy way to be mm-hmm. like, well, go get it. Mm-hmm. Here's $25.
Yeah. Yeah. I think finding opportunities to gain insight quickly like mm-hmm. this is really helpful because it's depending on how they answer, you're going to get a pretty good window into how they think and what's important to them, because it puts some limits on that a little bit, because we tend to go the other way. Like if you had unlimited money,
right?
What would you do? But to provide a little bit of scarcity around that question, it forces them to make some different choices on mm-hmm. how they answer that question.
Yeah. So this one's just an interesting way to start a conversation with the teenager, to be in conversation with them. And like you said, we're not asking if you had $1 million. We're asking something small that's actually attainable, that maybe they're realizing, oh, this is something I would do. And I don't even know why I'm not doing it because I'm a little worried I might get judged. And that's a great conversation to have.
And I'd say too, we do a version of this in our teen life groups where we have an activity called Ask Anything. Mm-hmm. And the way that it works is in our group, we have students ask any question they have about anything, but not put their name on it. And so that second question, if you're able to do something similar like that, where you're able to, you know, maybe if you're in a group of teenagers and you just have them write it down and not their name, where they're not going to get judged on it. Right. Mm-hmm. So any way you can strike up a conversation and do so in a way that's going to take that potential shame element out of it, where they can just kind of answer honestly, I think is a really, really powerful thing where they can share and not feel like that they're going to be judged. All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.